associate to Jerry Savelle for many years. And we just want to welcome him. Let's welcome him to our home in the East.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. Before I get started ministering, I want to mention a couple of things that's back there on the tape tables. And if you aren't on our mailing list, we don't ask you for money, so you don't have to worry about that. But fill out a mailing list card if you want to be on our mailing list. And then Brother Jerry starts praying around October for the word for 2017 now. If you're on the mailing list, you'll see that right after he gets the word and he shares it, our Canadian office, which is in London, Ontario, will have a card printed up, and there's some in the back. Walter has one. Walter, hold your card up. We have them printed up real nice, send them all to our partners and anybody that ministries that are hooked up with us or anything like that. But fill out a mailing list card, put your name and everything in it, and just give it to the book and tape table back there, and we'll see that they get to the London office. My office manager there is Linda Sue, awesome girl. I have a whole staff there, and I mean, they're there to help anyone in Canada. We have several outreaches that we work with. We do lots of projects with a lot of churches, and we really just want to spread the word all over Canada from one end to the other. And so this is maybe our first time for me in Saskatchewan. Won't be the last in Manitoba. But fill out a mailing list card, okay? And then there's a few tapes and books back there. One is called Vision. If you need to know more about how God gives a vision to you as an individual, I did this in a church in Toronto, Ontario. And it really came out good. And you know, when you're ministering and something comes out good, you want to share it with everybody. But it's talking about vision. I believe God gives everybody a vision. How big it is, what it's for, though, that's up to the individual. And once you hear the vision, then you write it down, then you run with it, and at some point it will talk to you. If you want to know more about a vision, I'm not talking about a vision you see in the sky. I'm talking about a word from God that creates something inside of you that you need to carry out for Him. It's called the vision. It's a single tape. When I was at Brother Walter's church, Brother Jerry had given the word for 2015. And I always start listening to the Lord about my messages to tie them in with the prophetic word. And when he started talking about 2:15 being full of visitation, manifestation, and then demonstrations, it all was built around God's glory. How many know His glory's on earth? It's here. Now, a lot of people say His glory's coming. No, it's here. We help usher in the glory. And this is a 5-tape series on ushering in the glory. I'm going to tell you, you need to get it because find out what your part is in ushering in the glory in the area that you're in. It's a 5-tape series called Ushering in the Glory. Awesome. You know, we go all over the world and we do discipleship training. That's one of our callings. It has been from the very beginning. And so what we do is we have Bible schools on e-books. The Bible school on ebook is only for the mission fields. It can't be sold. We got all the approval from all the other ministries on the books and everything. And so we can use their books on an electronic, but we can't sell it. We have to give it away. So it's for the mission fields. Well, in that, we also print up a lot of our books and stuff for the mission fields. If you ever see one just white and black, that's one of my books that we use in discipleship training on the mission fields. These can be done in all kinds of languages. I might have them done in Kiswahili in Africa. They might be done in French in France. Or they could be done in German. It could be done in any kind of languages. But what we do is take some key materials. And this is the ones that these are all giveaways. And it's only for the mission fields. If you went into our office, you would have to buy this and it would be colored. It wouldn't be black and white. That's the one they sell. But the one that we give away is a black and white issue. Well, I told Walter that God told me to bring some of them. And this isn't a mission field, but how many know all America and all of Canada and all the world is a mission field? Amen. So I'm going to plant some seed tonight And you were the first one that asked about it. Amen. So I'm planting some seed, okay? This is probably, you'll hear when they start sharing it with you, okay?
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Nobody knew I was going to give it to them. I just listened to the Holy Ghost. So if you didn't get one, you didn't pray hard enough. Okay, let's go on, all right? Why do we do that? Because we want to get the word all over the world. We want to see lives changed every day. That's why we're up here. We're not up here just to have a place to preach. We're up here to change lives. That's why we're here. I want to start off, and I want you to look at Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 and 20. I want you to choose tonight what you came to get. And he tells us in the Word that we have a right to make a choice. How many know you make choices every day? Yeah. I made a choice to get up this morning. I made a choice to turn my music on. I made a choice to get in the Word. I made a choice to start praying. I made this choice to walk. After breakfast, we walked, I don't know how far. I'm used to walking 5-6 miles, so I don't know how far we walk, but we walk mile and a half probably. I made a choice. The invitation came, but I made a choice. God's given you blessings and everything else. You've got to make a choice and say, I want to receive those. So in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, listen to what it says. This is God talking. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life, and I've set before you death. I've set before you blessings, and I've set before you cursings. Therefore, he tells you what to choose. Therefore, choose what?
Life.
No more said. You know what his will is. Choose whatever brings life. What brings life? The Word of God. Not the Word of the world. Not the world system. The Word of God brings life. So therefore you're going to choose what? The Word of God over the things of the world. Come on, stay with me. Okay? Now look. Therefore choose life that both you and your kids may live.
That's good.
So when I made a choice to start following God, received Him back in my heart, totally dedicated my life to Him. Now I was not a minister at that time. I was a banker, police officer. I had a gun shop. Joyce had beauty shops. But I made a choice decision. Lord, I'll live my life, the rest of my life, for You. I'll learn to hear You. I'll obey. I made that choice. We all have to make those choices. It's a choice that we have to make. And you're the only one that can choose it. He says, therefore, you choose life. Amen? Yeah. They're both there. But you choose them. Now look at what it says in verse 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God. A choice. And that thou mayest obey His voice. A choice. And that thou mayest cleave to Him. A choice. Does not matter what's going on around you. Does not matter what obstacles in the way. He's given you some instructions there. And we have to make a choice. That, yes, I'm going to do that. Let's go on. Obey, cleave to Him. For He is thy life and the length of thy days. And thou mayest dwell in the land that the Lord sware unto the fathers of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give them. When I read that scripture, I said, so I have the right to choose anything that God has for me. I have the right to say, Lord, I receive that. I receive that. Now, I want to take you back to the scripture I used yesterday, Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the sinners or Gentiles, which is Christ in me, Christ in you, the very hope of glory. But if you keep Christ in you, it will not do what God said He sent Christ to do. Come on. Come on. Christ is in me, but to be a light, I have to let Him out of me. Come on, let's go a little more scriptures, and then I'll give you some examples. In John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Always goes back to the Word of God. Always. Jesus said, you don't hear me say a thing I didn't hear my Father say. You don't see me do a thing that I didn't hear my Father tell me to do or show me to do. That was his, that was how he lived his life, by the Holy Spirit carrying it forth just like we do today. I've got to hear God in my decisions. There's some of you here right now, you've got some quality decisions and you have to hear God. You have to hear God. Amen? I don't know who you are. You know who you are. But this is that simple, is make that choice to go God's way. And sometimes it will not be the popular thing. Amen? Let me go a little farther reading that. Love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and we will make our home with him. Well, not really with him, in him. When I received Jesus, he entered right here. Holy Spirit, right here. Both of them reside right here. I can draw upon them anytime I want to. It's my choice. Whether it's in a calamity or a problem, or whether it's just I want to praise Him and just ask Him, Lord, what do You want me to do for You today? You know, when you get up of a morning, all you have to do is say, Lord, now to let Your light shine, just use me. But you know, you never know when you say that how He's going to use you. Amen? But you know what? He'll never use you in an area you're not ready for. He will prepare you, get you your provisions, and He will show you exactly how or what to do. Let's go on a little farther. I want you to go to John 15:5. John 15, what are we establishing? We're establishing that Christ in us is the hope of glory for the world. Okay? For us as a congregation, but as soon as we step out that door, it's for the world.
Yes.
It's for the person that don't know Him, or it's for the person that maybe does know Him and has come away from Him. And we're the lights that can walk through darkness, and they can see us, and they can either follow you, or they can ask you, why are you like you are? And there's where that witness comes forth. If you don't have a boldness, the Holy Ghost is full of it. Amen? All you got to say is, Holy Ghost, I need your boldness. He's very bold. Amen? Okay, let's read that. John 15:5. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abide in me and I in him, and the same bring forth much fruit. And without me, you can do nothing. Remember that part. Without him, we can't do anything. But Jesus even said that to, he said, without hearing the Father, I can do nothing. But he heard the Father and he could do all things. We have the Lord Jesus inside of us. Now look. Let me read verse 15. I want to jump down to 7 and 8. If you abide in me, and my word, everybody say word, abides in you. If I abide in him and his word abides in me, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is the Father glorified. That's one of our main things, is to glorify the Father in our lives. That ye bear much fruit. Now listen, so shall ye be my disciples. Okay, I want to go down to a scripture that's talking about disciples. Because when Brother Jerry gave the word for 2:14, I went to prayer and said, Lord, what do I want to add to that to be my part for the prophetic word that come forth? And the Lord told me, he said, Joe, I have a lot of people, but they're not my disciples. They're my children. They're not my disciples. Come on, stay with me.
Yeah.
You can be saved and not be a disciple. Come on. You can be saved and not be a disciple. And so I want you to go to John 8. Very important. John 8. This is really a key to what I want to talk about tonight. Okay? John 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him. So who was he talking to? Believers. So that's what we're saying right now. We're talking to believers. How many believe on Jesus right now? Then this scripture is talking to you. Amen? Let's go on. Let's see what it says. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, not just here at one time, continue in my word. So what do? When we got an obstacle comes up, we go to the word. What does the word say about that? And then we know what Jesus' word said, and we continue in his word. Let me go on. I want to get the rest of it out. continue in my word, then you are my disciple. So if you're not continuing in his word, you're not his disciple. You're his child. Nothing can steal that from you. When you receive Jesus, you become his child. Nobody can take that away from you. The only one that could give that up would be yourself. You could make a choice, I don't want to follow him anymore. Okay, but nobody can steal it from you. Nobody. You know, I remember when I first got saved, you know, every once in a while I'd slip and it'd be maybe a little sin, but it was still sin. And the devil would say, see, you're not really saved. Amen. Well, you know, I kept reading the word. The more word I'd read, the more I renewed my mind, the more I knew I was saved. I'm a child of the King. But now we're not talking about a disciple. Amen. Come on, let's go a little farther. And I want you to really catch hold of this one. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. What's another word for indeed? In your actions. In your actions. If you continue in his word and you learn his word, your actions will become like his actions. Stay with me. Your actions will become like his actions. You know, in the world today, the only Christ they might see is in you and me. They might never experience anything with God other than you, maybe. Amen? Now, when we were in praise and worship, and thank you again for ushering us into the presence of God. I'll tell you, I love it when we get in the presence of God in praise and worship, and I start hearing Him just fine-tune things. Starts giving me examples to use, because that's actually what it's all about. That's that Spirit-led life. Amen? And if you study His Word and renew your mind, then you're going to be one of His disciples in your actions. Amen? So what I have to do is I have to make sure if what I'm getting ready to do is with that, you know, there's a little, a little wristband that goes around. What would Jesus do? Anybody ever seen those? What would Jesus do? A good saying, because really before we do something, we ought to question what would Jesus do? Before I say something about someone or to someone in not a good sense, I need to think, what would Jesus do? Amen? If I put word in me, my actions will be his actions because he's here. Now, I want to use a couple illustrations. When I was writing down, I wrote down 6 illustrations while we were having praise and worship. So I kept picking my pad up and writing them. But I went into a Walmart and to get a couple of things for Joyce that I needed to take home that afternoon. And I don't know, you have Walmarts? Here, you know the fast lanes? They're never fast. They call them fast lanes, 20 or below, forget it. And so I grab these items, come and do it on my lunch hour. And I'm very cautious with my time because I believe in giving Brother Jerry my time and what I'm supposed to be doing. So I'm very cautious there. So I go in Walmart's and I get what I need and I get up there. And the Lord said, let me out. Lord, let me out. Come on, if he's in us, he wants out. Let me out. I hear you, Lord. Let me out. I hear you, Lord. What am I supposed to do? Go get in the slow lane. Oh, no, Lord. You don't understand. He understands everything, okay? So I walk over and I get in the slow lane. Now, the fast lanes weren't much faster, but got in the slow lane. And I'm right behind a lady, and I'm watching them. And she's putting all her groceries up here and she's kind of calculate. And I thought, Lord, let me out. Let me out. Let me out. I said, Lord, what do you want to do? I want you to buy her groceries. He said, she don't have enough money. He said, she's going to have to put some stuff back. I want you to buy her groceries. So, she's getting ready to put some stuff back. I said, ma'am, I'd like to help you out. I have a rich banker that provides me money to buy people's groceries when they need them. That's good. And I said, he's very wealthy, has plenty, and I want to bless you with your groceries. Oh, I couldn't do that. She said, oh, no, I want to. I said, this banker, he gives me these finances, and I really have to use it for that. Now, Sheeta has no idea what I'm talking about. Okay. But the little boy, he looks and he says, "Oh, Mama, can we go get the ice cream now?"
Aww.
My kids have ice cream every day, if that's what they want. They have never done without. And that little boy, because he didn't have enough money, he couldn't get the ice cream. I said, "Sonny boy, go get any flavor you want, get as much as you want." Why? Because I've got a rich banker. Let him out. You leave him in, he can't do one thing. I had to make a choice. I could have heard him say, "Let me out," and I could have said, "No way, Lord. Only got so much in my pocket." Come on, he's the provider. So I paid for her groceries, and she said, "Can you at least tell me who your banker is where I can thank him?" I said, "It's Jesus Christ." Now the witness comes out. Always the miracle, then the witness. I said, "It was Jesus Christ." I said, "Are you a Christian?" "I am." I said, "He just provided for you." I didn't tell her my name. I didn't hand her my card. I did not invite her to church. There was no strings attached. Come on, I'm preaching good now. See, I'm getting to preach now, okay? God does not have strings attached. If I never see her again, I'll never forget the little boy's face because he got some ice cream. And he's going to be thanking Jesus Christ for his ice cream.
That's right. Yeah, that's good.
Come on.
Amen.
But I had to let him out. Good illustration.
Yeah.
And then I paid for our stuff. I felt good when I got out to the car. You got to let him out. It won't always be that, but you got to let him out. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Brother Jerry, when we got Chariots of Light started, Chariots of Light is our motorcycle division. And we have it all over the world. And we have it here in Canada. It's in the United States. That's where it was formed. Started off in California, then California and Montana. And in Montana, Raleigh is when we started Chariots of Light in Ontario. Bob was a motorcycle police officer. He brought about 10 guys with him up into Montana to ride with us. And Brother Jerry said, "We need to have a unit in Canada. Let's start it now." So we said, "Bob, would you start the unit?" "Yes, I would." And he started the unit. So that's in 1999, we started a unit in Ontario, Toronto, Ontario. And then it just started exploding. Well, he told me, he said, "Joe, I want you to be Texas president of the Texas unit." I said, "Well, Brother Jerry, that's okay. You know, I'll do anything you ask me to, but I don't ride a motorcycle." I said, "I don't ride a big motorcycle at all. I ride four-wheelers and dirt bikes, but I never rode a big bike at all. I've rode little ones, but no big ones." He said, "That's okay." He said, "God will provide." He said, "Would you be the president of the chapter?" And I said, "You know, yes, I will, but I'm going to be riding in a car." In other words, we go on the tours, I'll be riding in a car for a while because I don't have a bike yet. And so he said, "Well, would you accept it?" "Yeah, I will." So I become president of the Texas chapter. But I didn't ride a big bike. Now that don't make sense at all. You think he would have picked somebody that rides a big Harley or a big Indian or a big Yamaha. Amen. But he picked me because God told him to. And he says, "You'll do what he tells you to." So I said, "Okay." So then I got an idea. I thought, you know, I never rode these big bikes. I probably need to go take a motorcycle school. And so I called and found out where there was a big bike motorcycle school, and it takes 3 days. And you actually go in, they teach you how to ride a little bit. And then they give you a test, you pass the test, you get your motorcycle license. So I said, "Lord, I like that." And I said, I made it, you know, when the Lord told me I said, "Lord, I don't want to buy a bike. I want you to bless me with one. I have the money to buy one, but I don't want to buy one. I want you to bless me with one." He said, "I'll do it." But you know, he never tells you a time. Sometimes when he says he'll do it, he doesn't give you the timeline. It's always due season. Okay? But you don't know when due season is all the time. And so I'm coming in. I'm talking about provision. I'm talking about letting him out. Okay? And so I'm coming in the office one morning, and I get there real early, and the only two there is Jeff Edwards, which has church in Sudbury now. He was working for us at that time. And Jeff was there, and I came in, and then Brother Jerry came in. We're always the first three there at that time. And so I came in, and I'm walking. The Lord said, "Let me out." And I thought, "What are we doing here? There's nobody here but us three." You know, and he said, you got to watch. How many know you got to have your eyes open to what God's doing? And so I got my eyes open. I'm watching. I don't know what I'm watching for, but I'm watching. And all of a sudden, I see something floating in the air. Floating in the air. And I thought, what is that? Floating in the air. Floating in the air. Hit right at my feet. $100 bill. $100 bill. Reached down, picked that up. I'm looking around to see who lost the $100 bill because I want to get it back to him. There ain't nobody around. So I called Jeff. I said, Jeff, you lose any money? No. I said, Brother Jerry, you lose any money? No. God said, just stick it in your pocket. Give your tithes to church. So $10 goes. So I had $90 left. So I'm getting ready to teach a class. And I thought, Lord, you got a class. You got one of the students that needs some money. I stuck it in my shirt pocket. And went into the class. Didn't hear one thing. I found people that I thought needed money. But I didn't hear God say anything. So I just left it in there. So I took it out after class. And I put it in my billfold. Left it in my billfold. So I go in to take my motorcycle school. And they said, oh, we gave you a discount. We gave you a 10% discount, so your school will cost you $90. And the Lord said, I just paid for your school. I provided for your school. I took that school, and I told my brother. I said, when I went to, I believed in the bike. Well, you know, sometimes, like I said, it's not as quick as you want it to come. Have anybody believing for something right now, and it's kind of, you think it might be a little late. It's not late, but it's not in due season yet. And so I'm driving the van with all the kids. I'm the president of the chapter. I got my patches. I'm not wearing them in the car. But as soon as I get out, I put them on as the president of Texas chapter. And I'm driving a van full of kids. And every time we stopped at the gas station, the daddies loaded them up with Coke and chocolate. And then puts them back in the van with me. I said, Lord, I've about had enough of this. How many know your fire can get fired up sometimes? And I said, I love these kids, but I'm not riding in this van again. I said, so I know the bike's quick. And at that rally, somebody walked up and handed me the keys to the bike and said, this is your bike. And I said, yes, it is. Amen. What am I saying? All you got to do is find out what God's plan is and then what your part is. Now, let's go on a little farther because I want you to think. Let him out. Amen. Let him out. We were in Africa and we went into a real poor area. I'm talking very poor. And it was down actually in the slum areas. The kids were sleeping in bodies of cars and like old trucks that had been wrecked, and they had put them up on blocks and the kids were sleeping underneath. And we went in to go in to feed an orphanage. And so when we went in, there was, I think, 35 in this orphanage that had no parents. And the little kids had never had really any kind of treats at all that we would call treats, a bottle of pop, candy, anything like that, you know. And so we went in to look at this school to make sure, is it run right and is this one that we want to take under our wing to help out all the time. And so when we went in there, these little kids are so cute, but I kept noticing, now we have all the kids inside the building, but at the windows, just like here, if you would look over there, if you had been with me, there's kids looking in the windows at every window. Because they're coming to get something to eat. So we just opened up the door, brought all of them in. The only trouble is we didn't have enough food. Okay? Didn't have enough food. Jesus said, let me out. Let me out. Let me out. I said, Lord, what's my part? You're going to have to multiply the food. There's no doubt about it. He said, I will. He said, I'll tell you your part. And I'll never forget this little boy. He's this high. And he comes up and he greeted me in his language. And my interpreter, I greeted him back. And I gave him a bottle of orange Fanta pop. And he's sitting there with his little bit of pop. And they gave him a cow bone. This cow bone was actually the leg of a cow. I'm talking big. And he's chewing on this bone. And I thought, why is they giving him a cow bone? Give him some meat. You know, and so they give me my plate, and my plate's full of meat. But he's got the little bone. And the Lord said, you ready to get multiplied? I said, yes, sir. He said, okay, you start giving your meat away. He said, but the first thing you do, you trade that little boy your meat for his bone. And so I told that little man, I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I brought my play door. I said, I'll trade you my meat for your bone. And he looked at me like crazy white man. You know, he said, crazy white man don't know when he's got it good. You know, I said, trade you my meat for your bone. My meat for your bone. I want your bone. You need my meat. And so he went. So I gave it to him. He started giving it out to all the other little kids. And that plate of meat never went dry.
Praise God.
It just, as he kept giving it out, it kept coming back in. And he finally fed all the kids in there. I've seen food multiplied several times. You can't guess how it's going to be done. You've got to depend on God to do it. Amen? All you got to do is find out your part. My part was trading him my meat for his bone. That bone didn't give me nothing. Amen? I just laid it over to the side because that wasn't what it was all about. But what he's seen for the first time in his life is somebody is showing him the love of God and caring about him more than they're caring about themselves. And that's what it's all about, people. Amen? That little boy grew, and I watched him grow. And I watched him grow, and I watched him give. Because that day he taught, he's seen about if you are given, you give. And he started giving. And that little boy become a minister of the gospel. And it changed his life. I don't know about the other kids, but I know that little boy, it changed his life that morning. What did I do? Let Jesus out.
Praise Jesus.
That's it. Let him out. What would Jesus have done? The same thing. He would have told that little boy, I want your bone. I'm going to give you my meat. Amen. Come on. Stay with me. Amen. Let's go a little farther. When you start renewing your mind, and we know this is found in Romans 12:2. Now listen. We don't form our lives on the system of the world or what the system is. We form it on God's Word. Amen. And so in Romans 12:2, this is one of my favorite scriptures. It probably is one that when I first got turned back on, I probably use this more to see my own life change and things leave me and God things come in than any other scriptures that I did. And because I had to know that I had to renew my mind to everything. I had to change the way I thought. I had to change the way I acted. Amen. At that time, being a police officer, a banker, the banker job, really not too bad, but the police job, you know, I had to learn how to live a different style. Instead, I couldn't cuss every time I went out at night like the world did. And that's how we thought we had to cuss because they cussed. So we had to cuss a little louder than they cussed. Maybe use a few more words. I found out you don't have to do any of that. But I had to renew my mind. Now let's go to Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If you renew your mind, you will know the perfect will of God. You will get into the perfect will of God. Good is okay. Acceptable is okay. But I don't know about you. I want in the perfect will of God. And you know what? If I seek Him and I seek His Word, I'll find the perfect will of God. It might not be the easiest path, and it might not be the quickest path, but the perfect will of God is where I want to be because that's what He wants us to do. Amen? Well, a scripture that went right along with that, I had to find out that there were things that I had to get rid of in my life. And I found out that He had gave us power and authority. And so another one of the scriptures that I always put with Romans 12:2 was 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not worldly. They're not worldly at all. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Whatever strongholds is in me, I want them out. Whatever strongholds are in me, I want them out because they're going to limit me. I like that sign, Solid Rock Church. No more limits. Then we can't have strongholds. Strongholds will limit you. freedom without strongholds that you go into what you're called to do. So here's what I would always read. For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Lord, I'm pulling them down. Casting down imaginations. And that's probably the number one you'll use as much as anything. Because when God gives you an assignment, the devil will always come in and tell you why it can't happen or it won't work. Every time. And you have to cast that down and say, God, if you say it, it will happen. Amen? When we start talking about hearing God, when I used to teach, I've got a class back there. There's not very many of them back there, but there's a 16-tape class back there on how to be led by the Spirit and know the voice of the Father. We only brought a few, right, Walter?
Four.
And I think, Pastor, you already got one.
I got one.
And it's a course I told you yesterday that I taught in school that first time when I would study till late at night and then go in and teach that class. I learned as much in that class as probably the students did, because God was tutoring me right along with the students. But I remember that when I first started that class, there was something God spoke to me, and I was in intercession prayer, and I was praying for somebody's health. I think they had had, it was heart trouble. And I was praying that the heart would be corrected. Whatever needed to be done, they would find the problem and it would be corrected. And I was praying, and when I got to a certain point, I just started praying in the Spirit, because I didn't really know how to pray for that man. I didn't know exactly what he needed, so I just started praying in the Spirit. But in praying in the Spirit, then I interpreted some of what I prayed. Now, how many know you can do that? I'll sing in the Spirit and I'll sing with understanding. I'll pray in the Spirit and I'll pray with understanding. And so, as I'm praying, I heard him say three W's. And so I wrote it down. I learned really early from Habakkuk that when you hear God speak to you, you want to write it down. If you don't write it down, the devil will try to steal it from your mind to so you can't complete his task. So he said, the three W's. So I wrote down three W's, but I didn't know what they were. Three W's. And so I wrote that down. And I got up the next morning after praying, and I went to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I got this here, three W's. And he said, I want you to teach a class on it. And I said, well, I got to know what it is. You know, three W's, but I got to know what it is. He said, when I speak to you, I'll always tell you what I want you to do. That's number one, what I want you to do. I'll always tell you where I want you to do it. And I'll always tell you when I want you to do it. They all have to go together. I know people that's done them out of line, didn't have all three, and it didn't work for them. It's got to be those three. Number one, what do you want me to do, Lord? I have a real good illustration there. When Miss Linda called me and said, Joe, will you come up and minister? I went to the Lord. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Go minister. Very easy. Where? The camp. When? June. I had all three of them, so they're all together. But then he spoke and said, have Miss Linda call some people and see if you can't set up some meetings while you're up there. See, he always adds two, and he always will. Everybody thinks that they have a vision, when it's completed, they're done. No, he gives you more of the vision or gives you another one. You'll never get finished with it. Amen? You'll accomplish what he wants you to do. So what, when, and where? I had to hear on how do I do this. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about the e-book school, the Bible school. Now, London, Ontario has a one-year Bible class that if anybody wanted to take, you can take a Jerry Savelle Bible class. It's a one-year class. It's in Ontario. It's a correspondence class. You can take it right in your home. And so we had that school that we formed. When we closed the live school down, the Lord said, you're very limited in the live school, but you can go international by having it on a correspondence. So we made it into a correspondence school. And so when I knew we were going to use discipleship training and I knew we were going to do this all over the world, we started out with cassette tapes. That's how long this Bible school's been going. Now, you don't get it in cassette tape now from the London, Ontario. You don't get it at all in cassettes. But back then it was cassettes. So for me to get the full 1 year course to an African minister up in the bush, it took four big boxes. Well, in Africa, they don't have good mail service. I have had it delivered by donkey. I've had to have it delivered by taxi. I mean, you just get it to them any way you can. Some of them come pick it up. But it was this big thing. And God said, I'm sending this all over the world. And I thought, Lord, how can you do that? How can it be done that way? So again, I'm praying, Lord, give us new strategies. Lord, show me what to do. Show me where to do it and how to do it. And so I'm praying for a brother that had cancer. And this brother has cancer, and I'm praying, and when I knew I was through praying, then the Lord spoke and said, Joe, I want you to listen to me right now, and I want you to get your pencil and paper. I did. He said, I want you to put this all the Bible school in digital form. I knew what digital form was. I've always stayed pretty well up on technology. And he said, I want you to put it all in digital form, all the tapes. So instead of cassette, they're going to go digital. So you could put them on like a CD or whatever. And so I got them all digital. All the books, we had them all digital. In other words, they're all in a format that's digital. And we got all the tests, all the quizzes, everything it had to do, we got it all digital. There was only one thing wrong. There was nothing to put it on. Now, this has been a few years back. And so I thought, Lord, the only thing we could put that on would be a cell phone. Because cell phones were just starting to come out to where you could play music through it. You could read through it. You know, you could pull up a book or whatever. And all of a sudden, I get a call from one of the bookstores. And they said, Brother Joe, you need to come in. I've got something that just came in and you need to look at it. He said, you travel all the time? And he said, this is called an e-book reader. And you can put any kind of books on it. And now, he didn't know what we had put together. He was talking about for just me and Brother Jerry traveling, we could actually put some books we read on it, the Bible on it, and all that, and just have it for a tool instead of carrying all the, we used to carry the vines and everything with us, and it all weighed so much that you lost a lot in your luggage. And so I went in, and when I seen that e-book reader, the Lord said, I invented that for this. And I bought one, my own money. I bought one. I took it into the office. I said, guys, everything we did digital, put it on that e-book. See how it'll work. And within a week, they had an e-book, a one-year Bible course, no bigger than this right here. And that's what we use in the mission fields. Okay? You actually have some. Fairford actually has 15 students that's using that e-book. I can use them anytime it's missions. I cannot sell them. I can't use them in, like, if it's not a mission field, I can't use them. But what we classify First Nations is a mission field. So I can utilize it there. So we have 15 there. Then down at Lake Huron. I have 10 units down there on the First Nations. And so it's going all over the world. We've already graduated 980 students in Tanzania. Okay? I'm talking a full 1 year Word of Faith Bible school on an e-book. God knows what He's doing. But you got to spend time in prayer in His presence to find out, what do I do? I knew there was no way I could get those four big boxes into some areas that we hadn't even touched before. Malawi, Zambia, Zimbabwe. I knew there's no way to get that stuff into them. But this, I can get anywhere. And every time we start a class of them in Uganda, we just graduated 87 students. Now, I want to tell you what the Word does for people. When they take that course, I tell all of them, when we do the intro and get a class started, I tell every one of them, if you'll complete this school, it will change your life. I'll guarantee. Well, how can I guarantee? Because God will guarantee. You put the Word in you, you're going to change. You will change. And so when we went to Uganda, we told those students, we said, if you'll take this class and you'll, God will prosper you. He will help you. He will lead you, guide you, because you're going to know the Word of God. And that's the number one thing, is getting the Word of God into people and letting it change their lives, because that's what will change it. That'll change a marriage. Okay?
Yeah.
That'll change somebody that doesn't have a dime. I love to hear the stories, Pastor, like you shared the other day about the man. You know, because one word from God, if you could get that 1 year school in him, you wouldn't even know him in another year. Mm-hmm. It's that much difference. Probably one of the greatest testimonies in Africa is we had one young man. He had a church of about 50 people, I think. And he started taking the course. And one of the courses was Passion for God and a Passion for Souls. Mm-hmm. He didn't know you could get people born again and bring them to your church. He didn't know that. And one of the courses was Passion for God and Passion for Souls. So it taught him how to be a soul winner. And his churches started growing because he'd go out and get people born again. Well, then he took a course, and it was called Wells of Faith, How to Use Your Faith. Well, he needed a sound system. And so he got a block of wood, and he made him a microphone. He read that, and he said, you have to exercise your faith. You got to exercise your faith. So he made him a wood mic. And so I went to preach his church, and I see him up there with that wood mic. No cord, just the wood mic. He painted it black, had a color of the mic on the top. And the Lord said, Joe, have you ever seen such great faith? I said, no, sir. And he said, then you use that mic when you preach. So I was going to preach next. So when he got through, I said, can I borrow your mic? I need your mic. And he started exercising his faith by using that wooden mic. And so one Sunday morning, a lady walks in, not a member of his church, never met him before, didn't know him, first time in the church. She come up and she said, I'm supposed to buy you a sound system. Now these are Africans. Wasn't American. Wasn't somebody he told everything he needed. Come on, stay with me. He's learning how to operate under faith. And she said, and here's a check for $10,000 to buy your system. Now, $10,000 doesn't equal $10,000 here. Mm-hmm. Okay? But over there. And so now, he actually has a mic he can go through. That was just the first thing. He says, hey, if it'll work in this, I can believe for a building. Now the man has 5 churches, and the littlest church is 500.
Praise Jesus.
Because he learned word. See, it's not whose Bible school it is, it's what are you learning.
Yeah.
If you're getting word and you're listening to it, what I'm sharing with you right now, every one of you can do because I did it. If I can do it, you can do it. Because he's no respecter of persons. Remember that.
Yeah.
You're no respecter of persons. Amen. Okay, I've used 2 illustrations. Amen. I love it when he gives the illustrations. This one, I'm in Brother Copeland's meetings in August. It was quite a while back. And I'm listening to one of the speakers. I don't remember which speaker it was. And I'm sitting there and having my Bible turned to that scripture. And Lord said, I want to show you something. And I said, okay. And I said, but Lord, you know, the speaker's speaking. I don't want to really miss any of this. How many know when God gets ready to speak? It don't matter. He's going to speak. Amen. He don't care if somebody else is speaking. He's going to speak. And he said, I want you to go to Mark 7. Because he said, you're going to come around a little girl that's deaf and dumb. Can't hear, can't talk. And he said, when you see her in Tanzania, I wasn't going to Tanzania anywhere soon, then here's what you're going to do. And he said, you're going to do the same thing Jesus did in Mark 7, 31 through 37. So I wrote it down. And he said, now you can get back to listen to the preacher. That's all he said. I know what. I know where. Kind of. I don't know when. Okay? And I really don't even know all of where. Because how many know Tanzania? Big country. Okay? So I knew we were going in November. This was August. So I started studying that word about that deaf and dumb. How he stuck his finger in the ears and commanded him to be open. I started reading that. But I marked it. I marked it with that little yellow marker to where I would not forget where he said go to. And I started studying the word. Then the trip comes up in Tanzania. And so we go into the interior of Tanzania. It was a 10-hour bus ride. And I don't know if you got any bad roads here that would be like those. You probably do have some logging roads maybe like that. Terrible roads. 10-hour. We get up there. We go into the Coliseum that night, soccer field. 17,000 people. And I'm thinking, Lord, is it here? Is it here, Lord? That little girl going to come here, Lord? Is it here? And it wasn't that meeting. Went and did the next night meeting. Wasn't that meeting. Went and did the next night. Wasn't that meeting. But see, God already had it set up. All I got to do is what He said to do, my part. And so I had a crew with me. And I love to get pictures of them when they're ministering to people. And so I'm up on the stage and they're ministering to people. And I'm clicking that picture. Oh, that was a good one. She had her hands laid right on that lady. You could see that lady receiving. Oh, they're delivering a demon. I'll get that because that young man, he know nothing about demons, but he knew the name of Jesus. I click that picture, you know. And I'm getting involved in my pictures taken of these people. And the Lord said, let me out. Let me out. And I thought, this is it. I run and get my Bible. And so I think, okay. And I seen the woman and the little girl come up the stairs to the stage where I was at. Everybody else was down on the ground. And it comes, and she brought her over here, and she said, I already knew what it was. Didn't have to think about it. So I get to the word. 7:31. Okay, I got it marked here. 31. All right. And they brought unto him one that was deaf and one that impeded with his speech and besought him to put his hands upon him. Okay, I'm ready. My hands are ready, Lord. And he took him by side. He put his fingers in his ears. Okay, and he spit. No, what? I ain't doing that part. I'm going to alter. No, that's not what God said. God said, you do it just like it's in the Word in those scriptures. And I said, and he spit. Oh, wow. So I said, I'll do the fingers first. That's a little easier. Put the fingers in her ears. Said, I command those ears to open up. I command them to open up now. Oh, boom. You could tell right away. Opened. Got back. And he spit. Lord, I don't have no spit. My mouth is so dry right now, Lord. Do you have to have a lot of spit? A little spit? How much spit do you have to have? Let me see what he did. He spit and he touched her tongue. Oh, that is gross, Lord. Gross. And he spit and he touched her tongue. And the Lord said, Joe, just do it. So man, spit. Touched her tongue, and all of a sudden she said, Jesus! Never talked before in her life. Her tongue was stuck to the top of her roof. She could not talk. Her mouth had never talked in her life. And she said, Jesus. Her mama's going wild.
Praise Jesus.
I'm going wild. But she, and I'll say, thank you, Lord. She said, thank you, Lord. She ain't supposed to speak English. She's Kiswahili all the way. She never even heard much English. But she's imitating what I'm saying, and she's speaking. Oh, the crowd come undone. But see, he had her on his mind in Kenneth Copeland Convention. And I had a part to play in it. That's all it was. It didn't matter who the instrument was he used. They just had to do what he said do. The hardest thing for me to do was the spitting on the finger and touching the tongue. Because see, we don't like to even think about that kind of stuff. I told you about the time when I was talking about the soup can. That was gross. I mean, they got that soup can and every one of them's drinking out of it. But whatever God says do, you do. Amen? Let's go a little farther. Let's go a little farther. You know, when I was, Brother Jerry first started sending me out to minister with him, and I would actually go to some churches actually before he would go in. And we had a church up in one of our states call us, and they said, we're in between pastors. We're having a lot of trouble because the people are kind of losing confidence because they don't have a pastor. said, could you come up and do us a revival? So I went to Brother Jerry and asked him, I said, Brother Jerry, would you like to go up there and do a revival? And he said, man, I can't. But he said, you go do one. And so I didn't have any problem with that. And so I flew up, and when I got there, the board met me, their board. And one of them I knew was Word of Faith. I knew he was because I had met him in one of the conventions and I knew the guy. And actually, he's who recommended that we bring Jerry Savelle Ministries up. And so I had lunch with them. And I'm sitting there and they start talking. And the one elder, he said, now he said, Brother Joe, we don't believe in speaking in tongues out loud. I said, okay. He said, we don't believe in laying hands on the sick. I said, okay. He said, and we don't believe in dancing. Okay. I said, what am I here for? I'm talking to God now. What am I here for, Lord? I believe in all that. And I believe in doing whatever you tell me to do. And I'm not going to do it just because they say they don't want to do it. But what if I get up there and that's what you tell me to do? And so I said, guys, I think you got the wrong person for this meeting. But the Word of Faith man right over here. He said, no, we don't have the wrong mic. He said, you do whatever God tells you. And I said, oh, we got a little contention here. This church has got contention. You know, and they did have. Because it was some believe, some didn't. And the Lord said, why do you think we got you here? And I thought, oh man, that makes it hard. Because you know what's going to happen when you get ready to do something? You're going to see a face. Normally it's that elder face. Okay? And so I got up to preach that morning. I'm trying to talk myself out of preaching. I'm thinking, Lord, I really don't need to be preaching because, you know, what if I do something they don't want to do? He said, just do what I want to do. Oh, that set me free. Just do what I want to do. Let me out. And so I started preaching. Now, I'm a pretty long-winded preacher. You already know that. And I preached 15 minutes. 15 minutes. Built a really good foundation. And then all of a sudden I said, it's time for healing. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. What did I just say? God, you're not the God of confusion. I mean, He's not. He's not. But He is the God that wants to provide miracles. And I said, if you're sick, I want you to come to the front. I'm going to tell you what. 3/4 of the church came to the front. They went from that side to that side. One of the biggest groups I'd ever had on a, and this was on a Sunday morning. And so I'm looking. I said, Lord, now, what would you like for me to do? And I looked back and there sat that elder. And boy, he is staring. And the Lord said, don't look. I mean, don't look. How many know we can't be moved by sight? And then all of a sudden, I seen his wife push him out of the way and come to the front. And I thought, oh, okay, Lord. He's got to deal with her. Because I'm going to do what you told me to do. So, you know, she's right up in the line. You know, and man, I thought, that's the first one I'll probably go to. And so the Lord said, look at this one man. And I looked at him and he held his hands up. And his hands were just crippled up everywhere. Now, I'm already going to tell you, if you have any kind of joint problems, I want to pray for it tonight. Amen? Any kind of joint problems. Amen. It could be in the hands, could be in the feet, could be arthritis, could be anything in the joints. But he was all twisted up. And the Lord said, I want you to watch this. And I walked up to him and I said, you ready to get set free? He said, God told me if I came tonight, there would be a healing service. I said, when's the last time healing took place in his church? He said, I don't remember. He said, but it's going to take place tonight because God told me. I said, then raise your hands up. When he raised his hands up, I seen the nicest laser show I believe I've ever seen. And his hands just started popping, popping, popping. Finally, all the way open. And I said, now you get your hands on that lady that's got terminal cancer right here. And they started him. And then the Lord said, and Joe, if you'll dance, I'll heal every one of them you touch. And I thought, it's either, Lord, I bless the people, or I care about what somebody thinks. I don't dance very pretty. It don't matter. When he says do it, you do it. And boy, I started shucking and jiving. I mean, I started. And boy, I started touching the people. Amen. We had a full week of nothing but Word, Holy Ghost revivals. And I'll never forget the last part, the part about the dancing. When I started dancing, I'm touching people, and got to the end, I look back, and a little grandma and grandpa come out in the middle of the aisle and said, "Papa, it's time we dance before the Lord. We hadn't got to do this in years." And when they started, the people in the church started, and I mean, we like to tore the building down. It don't matter what it looks like. It's will you let Him out. Because if you keep Him in, I would have had limitations. Mm-hmm. That was trying to be put on us when we got there. But when you let Him out, you're out of it and He's involved. Praise because Jesus. You're only the instrument He uses. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Praise Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
you getting anything?
Yes.
You remember, He's no respecter of persons. So if you want it, all you got to do is ask for it. And then when He speaks to you, you find out, what's my part, Lord? That's if I get one thing across, is you have a part. He will never speak to you to do something if you don't have a part. But you know what? He might speak to you to help somebody else fulfill their vision. I've been with Brother Jerry Savelle 37 years. I've had all kinds of invites and invitations to go away from the ministry, but I wasn't called to go away from the ministry. I was called to be with Brother Jerry and Miss Carolyn until we go to heaven. And so I can fulfill everything I'm doing within His ministry. And a lot of people always think I got to start my own. No, sometimes you hook up with somebody else's vision. That's what the church is all about. What are you doing? You're hooking up with the church vision. What is the vision? What's my part in it? Your part can be prayer. Your part can be the giving. Your part can be actual hands-on. You just got to find out, what's my part? Amen. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I can feel it right now. I can feel some people say, "Lord, I need to know what my part is." Well, God will show you what your part is. He will speak to you. He will lead you. He will guide you, just like the Word says He will. If you're here tonight and you say, "Brother Joe, I want you to pray for me because I don't really know what my part is. But I know you have one, because all of us have one. To be a witness for Christ is one of them. We're Christians. We're being witness of Christ all over the world." If you're here and you say, "Brother Joe, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do," I want to see your hand. Just put it up and keep it up a minute. I see that hand. I see that hand. See that hand. See that hand. See those hands. See that hand. See those hands. You can put them down now. Father, I know now exactly why we're ministering what we're ministering. And I know that You will reveal after the Word is preached, and people are hungry and they seek You, You'll give them those answers. You'll show them what their part is, not only in the church, but in what they're supposed to do for You outside of the church. And Father, for the business people, You'll show them how to run their business more effectively, more fruit. For the ones that are called to minister, You'll show them how to be more effective and more fruit. That's for all of us. We never finish learning. We always, You teach us day by day. And I pray and I put my agreement with every hand that was raised that they'll know what their part is. They'll know what You've called them to do. They might not know every step, but they'll at least know that starting step. And every one of us had to take it. And after we took that step, You gave us another step and another and another step. Because the steps of a good man and woman and a child are ordered by the Lord. So we want Your perfect will. So we seek You right now. We pray right now that You show every individual their part. Their part. Their part. And Lord, when they start walking in that part, they'll never be the same. You'll be glorified, because that's what it's all about. Lights will light up all around them. The people that they've been praying for, a lot of them will come into the kingdom just because of what they see. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody say, every one of us now, I receive.
I receive.
I receive knowing what I'm called to do.
I receive knowing what I'm called to do.
Thank you, Lord. I know what I'm supposed to do. In Jesus' name. You just made a faith confession. And that's what it's all about right there. Amen. You know, I have one last illustration. I went to a little town in Oklahoma, and I had used to do some hunting and fishing down there. It was one of my favorite spots to go through. It was much like your terrain right here. And I always loved it. It was river bottom land, lots of trees, lots of game down there. And I used to hunt down there as a young man. And after I got turned on to the Word and I'd go visit my mom and dad in Oklahoma, then we'd get invitations in Oklahoma to come minister. And I'll never forget this one little church. The pastor called me and said, would you come minister? And I loved that town, so I went down. He got us a cabin out in the woods. And just was awesome. And I taught that night on just hearing God and just obeying. Much like what we taught tonight, but a little bit different. And there was a lady sitting in the right here on the front row. Elderly lady, I'm going to say in her 70s probably. And that's not real old now. I'm 69, so that's not real old. But back then, this has been a while back. And she was sitting right here, and I watched her. It was like I was spoon-feeding her. I could see her taking that word in just almost like spoon-feeding. And she listened to everything. And I said, you know, if you go home tonight, just ponder what was preached, and just do what God tells you to do. And I had shared with her how the easiest way for me to get in the presence of God was start playing some music, praise and worship, and then start praying in the Spirit, and just listen. And so she went home, and she sat down, and she turned a little bit of music on, and started praying in the Spirit, and just listening, and God said, I want you to take your neighbor a cup of sugar. I want you to take your neighbor a cup of sugar. It's 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. She looks over there. There's no lights on. And so she's got to make a decision. She actually heard God. Take your neighbor a cup of sugar. How many know He didn't tell her something she didn't have? He didn't tell her something she couldn't do? She had a cup of sugar. All she had to do is make a decision. She made that choice. She looked, no lights on. But she still went over there. Rung the doorbell. And the devil telling her all the way, they're going to be mad at you because you're going to wake them up. There's no lights on. You're going to wake them up. And she rang that doorbell, has a cup of sugar in her hand. The lady come to the door, and she was in her nightgown. And the lady handed her a cup of sugar and said, here's your cup of sugar. And that lady looked there and said, how did you know I needed a cup of sugar? Now it becomes not just obedience, but now a witness. Because she's going to tell her how come she knew she needed a cup of sugar. Well, I was praying. And while I was praying, God said, bring you a cup of sugar. And she said, now, do you know God? And the lady said, no. She said, but He told you to bring me a cup of sugar. Now this lady, as far as what she told me, she had never led anybody to the Lord one-on-one. I'm talking about one-on-one. All right, now by her witness maybe, but not one-on-one. And she just started flowing in the Holy Spirit. And she said, the reason I brought this over is God's love for you is so much He wants to meet your need on a cup of sugar. Well, she was building a cake for her husband. He was on a night shift. He come in, and she had everything to put the cake together except a cup of sugar. And she had sugar, but not enough. She needed one cup. And so the lady told her, she said, I need to know more about your Jesus. And the lady led her to the Lord that night. 70 years old, led her to the Lord. Got her spirit filled, tucking in tongues. How many know when you receive Jesus, your hands become holy? Amen. Your hands change. And so she made that cake. She took and had it all ready when her husband got there. He come in. He took his shoes off, sat down in the chair. She brought him a glass of milk, a piece of the cake. He said, honey, I think this is the best cake you've ever made. Cup of sugar. Remember, cup of sugar. not really the cake, the cup of sugar. And he ate that, and she said, I got to tell you how this come about. You wouldn't have had a piece of cake, but our neighbor came over with a cup of sugar because God told her that he loved us so much he wanted me to have a cup of sugar. And within an hour, she leads her husband to the Lord and gets him spirit filled. That's how one cup of sugar, and it has nothing to do with the cup of sugar.
Truly.
It has everything to do with being obedient and letting Jesus out. That lady at 70 years old let Jesus out that night. And for the first time led somebody to the Lord that she never had done it before. And it was like she was a pro doing it but never done it before. Because the Holy Spirit will lead you and He will guide you. Amen. Those people become pillars in that church. The last time I visited that church, they'd been in that church 20 years. They were deacons in that church over a cup of sugar. This lady calls me after that and said, Joe, I heard God again. I said, well, what did he tell her? What did he tell you? She called me Sonny Boy. She said, Sonny Boy, I heard God. She's about like a grandma, you know. And I said, what did he say? And she said, I always had a vision to go preach in Africa, and I'm going. Now I'm really concerned, kind of, because a cup of sugar's okay. But she's 70 years old, getting ready to go to Africa. She stayed in Africa 22 years. She changed parts of the nation. She ministered to the kids. She ministered to the older ladies. She ministered to all of them. She calls me one day and said, Sonny boy, I'm going home. I said, so you're coming back to America? No, I'm going home. And she passed on out. Sitting in that, no different than anybody else, sitting in that church service, but she caught hold of it. And she said, I want that and it's mine. And she learned how to operate in it. And she said, I never realized that when I was a little girl and I was called to go to Africa, but then I got married, then I had the children. And she said, but I realized at 70 years old, all the children are grown. Husbands already went to heaven. I got nothing that'll keep me back. That's the kind of stories that I like to remember.
Truly.
Amen. And what changes it? Making a choice. So you got choices to make. Amen. We all do.
Yeah.
I got choices to make tomorrow. Choices to make. I would love it when I'm sitting in that, like we were sitting and meditating today, praying and everything. And I heard the Lord say what to teach in the school over on Almond Tree Ministries. I'm going to be teaching their I guess it's a K-12 grade school. And the Lord's already told me what to teach. I'm so excited about it because it all has to do with the reason I'm here right now is Carolyn Savelle had a vision at 8 years old that she would marry a man that would become a minister and go all over Africa. And that was Jerry Savelle. She had that vision at 8 years old. Those young kids up there in that school can have a vision tomorrow that can change their life, send them all over the world, or change everywhere they're around. We all have that opportunity. So what am I saying? Run with it. Let him out. Let him out. Amen. You might be tomorrow. Might be the next day. Could be at the restaurant. Could be at the gas station. Let him out.
Praise Jesus.
It's just that easy. No? Kind of feels funny at first, but once you get used to letting him out, then it's very easy. Amen. You receive anything tonight?
Yeah.
Walter? I want you to share what you shared with me about while we were sitting in the car. I want you to respond to it. Now, don't forget, we're still going to pray for people that joints. And I know one of them is in the right hand. Okay, for sure. Right in this area. Right in this area. Yeah, right there. That's one. But there's more than that, too. Right hand. Right hand. Joints. Amen.
We had 9 children, and I said, I used to tease people. I'd say, how many kids? And I'd say, 9. So I just joke about it. I said, well, I had to take one out. They put my hand up like that. So many kids I had, but I had one taken out.
Amen. Amen. I want you to, this is a point of contact. You have joint problems, you reach up here right now. Amen. Reach up here right now. I'm using a point of contact right here, but it's going to go right on around the room. I command these joint problems. I command them now in Jesus' name. I command them to cease. I command whatever that pain is, I command it to leave. I command those joints to become whole and fit together like they're supposed to. I command the arthritis to leave. I command any injury that's caused joint problems, I command those to leave. And I thank you, Father, right now that I call them healed. 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 I don't care what your age is, or I don't care what your nationality is. It doesn't make any difference. Jesus is the healer. I command those joints, joints in the feet. I command those joints in the hands. I command the elbows, the shoulders. Oh, one right in here, right in this area, right here. I command that pain to leave, and I command that shoulder come together right now in Jesus' name. Oh, I feel a knee right in here. Knee, in touch them. If that's your knee, touch them. Right there in Jesus' name. Joints, you come in line with the Word of God right now. You come in line with the Word of God right now. Joints, I command you to do it now. Legs, legs. Oh, joints in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. One in the jaw, right up in this area. Right up in this area. Jaw, right up in this area. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name. Now, Father, we give you praise, and we start praising you right now, Lord. I want you to start praising Him right where you're at and thanking Him for your healing. Thank Him for your healing right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. You're worthy of praise in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Walter, come share what God gave you.
On our way here, we left Winnipeg on Thursday. We spent the night at Neepawak. And as we were going to our rooms, when I opened my room, I realized that, actually I think on the outside of my room, I already realized that my room was a handicap room. But definitely when I came into my room, I realized that my room was a handicap room. It was set up for somebody who was in a wheelchair, or who would be in a wheelchair, and the room was all designed to make it very accessible and easy for somebody in that kind of a situation. And when I came into the room, I thought it a little strange that I had been given a handicap room, because it didn't seem like the hotel was full. And so when I came into the room, the Lord began to speak to me about the reason why I was in the handicap room, and it had to do with our meetings here. And He said, I want you to be aware of people with a handicap. Had I not stayed in that room, I would not be thinking about people with a handicap the way I am right now. But He had me in that room to think about, to be aware of people with a handicap. And the Lord said to me, again, not in an audible voice, but I just sensed in my spirit that the Lord wanted to deliver people here who had a handicap. We're in the year of the great breaking loose.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
And so I just sensed that there would be a great breaking loose of people from a handicap that they were experiencing. Well, today I looked up the word handicap, and I think it's easy for us to think of handicap in terms of something physical. And certainly something physical, a physical condition, can be a handicap. Somebody in a wheelchair not able to walk, that's a handicap. But we're going to go beyond physical, okay, conditions to other kinds of handicaps. Listen to what the word handicap means. Handicap is a circumstance that makes progress or success difficult. There may be people here tonight, you're in circumstance that is making progress in your life difficult. And that could be spiritual progress, it could be financial progress, it could be relationship progress. Another definition of handicap is a condition that markedly restricts a person's ability to function physically, mentally, socially, and I would add, even spiritually. So, handicap. The power of the Lord is present here tonight to set us free from handicaps. And one handicap he specifically, and I mentioned this to Brother Joe in the car as we were talking, is unforgiveness. People who are withholding forgiveness in a relationship, they're living with a handicap. That unforgiveness will, well, let's read it. It'll make progress or success difficult in your life. Unforgiveness, when we make the decision to withhold forgiveness from somebody, it means we're giving the devil a foothold in our lives. And that foothold will cause us to become restricted in our walk with God, in our relationship with God, in what God wants to do in our lives through us. You know, He wants out, but we've allowed a handicap in our life that restricts Him from what He wants to do. And so tonight, specifically, I believe that there are some people here who need to let go of some hurts and some offenses and some bitterness that you have held on to, and it's handicapped you. So how does this happen? And you know, nobody can walk in your shoes, and nobody can say to you, well, I understand what you're experiencing, because only you've experienced it. And there are all kinds of degrees and ranges of offense and hurts, some very, very severe. People have experienced tremendous hurt because of what somebody else has said or done to them. But what is it for all of us that will enable us to become free from hurts? It is the grace of God. It is the ability God gives us to forgive that person. We cannot forgive people by ourselves without God. And that's one form of letting God out.
Yeah.
We let God out by saying, God, I need your help. He wants out to help you to forgive the person who hurt you. And so tonight, I'm actually going to ask you to come forward based on Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, where it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. I'm going to ask you to come forward to receive grace to forgive tonight. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Message translation says, so let's walk right up to Him. So I'm going to ask you to just come and walk right up to God and get what He is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. His help is available tonight.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right now, Father. In this moment, His help
is
available for you to forgive. and to let go of that handicap that has restricted you from making spiritual progress. So would you come forward?
Thank you, Father.
And let the Lord minister His grace to you. Somebody please move this stand here. Please, thank you. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Tonight is your night for the great breaking loose. It may be a spouse. It may be a friend, a co-worker, your employer. It may be your neighbor. It may be your best friend, somebody who tremendously let you down. Brother Joe, I'm going to ask you to come.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
We're just going to come down the line. You're up here. You're here to obtain grace.
Thank you, Father.
You're here to obtain God's help.
Thank you, Father.
And we're going to come down. We're going to lay our hands on you. That's a point of contact for you to receive grace from God.
Thank you, Father.
Receive grace.
Thank you, Father.
From God.
Thank you, Father.
Let it go.
Thank you, Father.
Let God out and let
Thank
it
you, Father.
Go.
Thank you, Father.
Forgive. Forgive. Amen.
Amen. You ready?
Yes.
Say, I release.
I release.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name. I forgive.
Name. I forgive.
And Father, it's done.
And Father, it's
because
done.
Because you say when I confess.
Because you say when I confess.
It's done.
It's done.
So I receive right now.
So I receive right now.
I receive your grace.
I receive your
mercy.
Grace. Your mercy.
And I do forgive.
And I do forgive.
It's over.
It's over.
You're free. You're
I
free.
I feel it.
You are. You're free. You can feel it. Thank you, Father. Say, Father,
Father,
I forgive right now. I know I don't feel like I am.
I don't feel like I am.
But the Word says if I confess.
The Word says if I confess.
And I forgive them.
And I forgive.
I am forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
Therefore, I'm forgiven.
Therefore, I'm forgiven.
And I forgive.
I forgive.
You receive that?
Yes, I do.
You feel the freedom?
Yeah.
You're free. You're free. You're free. Thank you, Lord.
I
say, Lord.
Lord.
I forgive.
I forgive.
Right now.
Right now.
Just like you forgave me, Lord.
Just like you forgave me, Lord.
I walk in forgiveness.
I walk in forgiveness.
And I'll never be the same.
I'll never be the same.
I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord. I'm free.
I thank you, Lord.
I'm free indeed.
I'm free indeed.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Say, Father.
Father.
I forgive.
I forgive.
Right now.
Right now.
Just like you forgave me.
Just like you forgave me.
And I know you tell me. That I'm to walk in forgiveness.
That I am to walk.
So I release this right now.
So I release
to you.
To you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I count myself free.
I count myself free.
I'm free.
I am free.
I am free.
I am free.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I forgive.
I forgive.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Lord, I know you forgave me.
I know you forgave
and
me.
And I'm to walk in forgiveness.
I am to walk in forgiveness.
So therefore, I forgive right now.
Now I walk in forgiveness.
Right now, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
You're free.
Receive your grace.
You're free. You're free.
Your grace.
Amen. You're free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 You're free indeed. Thank you, Lord. She's free.
Glory to God.
She's free.
I declare you free.
Free.
You are free. You are free. You are free in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And that joy is jumping out. It's contagious. That joy's jumping out. Come on. Get ready. Get ready. That joy's coming.
Take that ability
That joy is coming. That's part of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
That's that joy.
Come on,
joy, joy, joy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
In the name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord, for the great.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Of forgiveness.
Thank you, Lord.
In this church.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, we praise you, Father. Let's lift up our hands.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank the Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise
your Father. Praise your Father. Praise your Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
She fell when we just arrived here.
Okay.
She fell really hard on
okay.
her bum
okay.
from she was hanging up, and now her stomach is throbbing and her
okay.
back hurts.
Father, I praise you and thank you. The healing power of God right now going through her system, and I call her healed
yes.
in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
I command that pain to leave
yes,
in
Father.
Jesus' name,
yes,
and I command her to be made whole
yes, Father.
And enjoy the rest of this camp
yes.
in Jesus' name. You receive that? Amen. Amen. Amen.
Can I get prayer?
Yep.
I've been standing in faith for my husband for
okay.
17 years
okay.
now,
okay.
and I want this to be my weekend.
Amen.
When I was listening to you, that's what I heard in my heart.
Amen.
So
amen.
Can we pray for him?
Sure, sure.
Thank you, Father.
What's his name?
John.
I call John into the kingdom
yes,
of God.
Lord.
I call
yes,
John Spirit Field. I call
yes.
him saved, and I
yes.
call him living for God.
Yes.
Devil, I command you to
yes.
loose him right now.
Yes.
I command all
yes.
the symptoms in his body,
yes.
and I command all the addictions in his body.
Yes.
I command him to leave right
yes.
now, and I call him free,
yes.
free, free.
Yes.
And that's all by faith
yes.
in Jesus' name.
Yes, I receive
you
it.
You receive it?
I receive it.
I stand
I
with you.
I receive it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, some of you really need a good dose of joy. Some of you really need a good dose of joy. Amen. You haven't laughed in a while. And you say, what have I got to laugh about? At the devil. Laugh at the devil. He's a liar. He's a liar. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Please. Last night.
Yeah.
I have dream. I see you come to me.
Okay.
Okay. I tell you, oh, thank you, Lord, but I like confession before you.
Yeah, yeah.
I have dream. I see
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
You give me book. Thank you, Lord.
I did.
Yeah. But you speak today about confession.
Yeah.
This is for me.
Amen.
Because I had a dream last night.
Amen.
So I see you. I holding you. Look like small baby.
Amen.
Love guy. I don't know.
Yeah.
On confession and see heaven.
Amen.
A beautiful
amen.
Blue heaven.
Amen.
I confession when I born.
Amen.
All my life and speaking. I tell you, I many times confession.
Amen. Amen. Stay with her. She's drunk. Drunk in the spirit. Come on. Come on. Stand up. Come on. Come on. Stand up.
Every breath.
skunk.